join with me in prayer. So come and abide in our hearts this day, O God. Infuse us with the power of your Holy Spirit. In the dawning of our lives and in the celebration of your love, establish us in the faith. For even as Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, he so also suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried, yet on the third day rose again. Even now, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. This morning, in our second Sunday of Advent, we focus on a gift of love. Christina Rosetta, 1830 to 1894, came from a family steeped in the arts. Christina was the author of three collections of mostly religious poetry, four devotional books, and yet she had suffered from poor health from the age of 16 years of age. Her best known hymns are two distinct Christmas carols. One, In the Bleak Midwinter. The second, entitled Love Came Down at Christmas. The poem, which was based on 1 John 4, verses 7 through 11, mentions this love 11 different ways in its passage. Now, what's really ironic is for me to tell you this morning that the first time I ever had an invitation at the old chapel to call out the number of your favorite hymn, one person on one side and one person on the other side, without prompting from me at all, called out number 242. Open your hymn books. Hymn number 242. And this happened. And I had to show them my sermon notes that I had this in there before they called it out. Love came down at Christmas. A miraculous moment. But look at her poetry. Love came down at Christmas. Love, all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas. Star and angel gave the sign. Worship we the Godhead. Love incarnate, love divine. Worship we our Jesus. But wherewith for sacred sign. Love shall be our token. Love be yours and love be mine. Love to God and all people. Love for plea, for gift, and sign. We at the old chapel said that was an exclamation point. A couple, by the way. Love is born at Christmas, and so this morning we engage not only in the hope that we spoke of last week, but we discover today, how do we find that love that's born at Christmas? But for plea, for gift, and sign. Today, as we look at the images of love in the scripture passages that were read, but more importantly, in the stories that you are familiar with of the characters of the Christmas story, we know an amazing love story. It's a love story that was manifest in all of humanity from the beginning of time, but was realized in two distinct characters, one by the name of Mary and the other by the name of Joseph. You're aware of their love story. It is not to be seen through rose-colored glasses or by that perfect nuances of the Christmas tale. Love grapples with the depth of real human struggle. For you're familiar with the story, with the act that in a typical Jewish family, there were three steps in the process of marriage. One was the opening agreement that would have been negotiated between Joseph and Mary's families, a dowry that was paid, an exchange that was acknowledged so that she would have a place and a position, but her family would be acknowledged as she would be departing from them. And that nuance of the first step would have been the formal acknowledgement of their relationship. They would have been considered married when that dowry was exchanged, and yet for these two, they likely still lived in separate places and did not know each other, as the scripture tells us. And yet in that period of marriage, Mary would be discovered to be with child, and Joseph would, being a just and righteous man, the scripture said, would try and put her away without much shame or acknowledgement within the community. To be private and to acknowledge that she had made some kind of horrible mistake and had betrayed the covenant that had already been established between their two families. And the second act would have been Mary gathering her friends at her place and Joseph gathering friends at his house and making a long procession until they came to the place and they would share together that moment of consummation, and then they would go and celebrate with all of their family and friends this wonderful, miraculous marriage, something the scriptures never tell us happened for Mary and Joseph. What the scripture story tells us is that Mary was caught in complete astounding wonderment. She was found and to utter the Magnificat, that she would be obedient to God by the gift of the Holy Spirit and that she would receive this child. But we know that Mary would have disappeared according to the scriptures and moved to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who also was with child. And they would then experience in that moment of exchange something that likely had not happened to Mary in many of the social conversations that had occurred. Because likely, if anyone knew that she had conceived a child before marriage and before that grand party celebration with Joseph and all their family and friends, she would have likely been called other names other than magnificent. And here Mary enters the presence of Elizabeth, her cousin, and she rejoices not in condemnation, but she said, "Blessed are you among all women, because the fruit of your womb, when my ears heard your voice, the baby inside of me leaped for joy." An acknowledgement that this was a movement of God's Spirit far greater than the human actors that were a part of it. And if Joseph was thinking of putting her away privately and quietly, was that really what was happening in that three-month period where Mary disappeared to go visit her cousin Elizabeth? Maybe her family thought it was better for her to get out of town for a little bit. Here, Joseph and Mary are that perfect human love story, not of wonderful, ideal children, but trapped in a mystery and an understanding that love moves at a much deeper level than mere surface emotion or joy or perfect obedience. We humans might be inspired and moved and even at times confused and intrigued by this love story. But God would want us to understand it more. This love story where Mary and Joseph were just trying to get to know each other and what they liked and what they didn't like, what they were dreaming for and hoping for, what Joseph had to concede after his dream of an angel visitation that he needed to trust, because the child that was in his beloved, even though he knew it was not his, was God's gift. Mary and Joseph would then be questioning, how us? Why me? Why now? And yet in this moment, do you and I have opportunities when we look at love's majesty to wonder how we experience it this day? How do we find that love that manifests itself when we don't always make or do the right thing, or be the perfect people, or to write the perfect love story? God has a way of honoring us and our families, even in our deepest brokenness, even in our greatest challenges. And yes, if you've experienced betrayal like Joseph experienced it, you know how deep it cuts. It makes you question everything. It even makes you question your own choices, your own actions. But maybe we need to listen to the voice of an angel, or the voice of a miracle, or the voice of a Messiah. For we fall on us in this moment. Love incarnate of God doesn't always make human sense. We become love partakers and participants in this drama of love when we begin to discover that we don't get that love because we are perfect and right and obedient. We receive that love because God sends His Spirit to be with us, Emmanuel. God would make a way. As Mary and Joseph experienced that true human love story, we see it from a supernatural love encounter. For this love is a love of God. In Advent, you and I might listen to the scripture reading of John in 1 John 4:16. When he writes, "So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides, God abides in them. And God abides in us because He is love." This is that nature of God's love, a love in its purest form. Love that centers when God started the creation story, and even as He would create the gift of His Messiah in unexpected terms. For Mary and Joseph, that love story had to be challenging. And yet we know that even when the shepherds came and made known the statements of this child, what did Mary do? She kept those things and pondered them in her heart. She discovered that love that all they need or want or imagine is born the gift of God, God's love to us. And God isn't just merely love. God gives us that love. For when Mary received the acceptance of her cousin Elizabeth and not the scorn and rejection that she lightly received from her community around her, would that not be how we would want God's love to be manifest? In Paul, in the letter to the Romans, he writes in the 8th chapter, "For I am now convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor future, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." This God's love then not only comes to us, but it flows through us. Like any love story, Mary and Joseph didn't want it simply to be for themselves. They wanted it to then be a gift For in the Jewish community, that third celebration was the party with all your family and friends. It wasn't so that they'd bring you extra gifts when you started your household. It wasn't so that they'd come dine at a fancy restaurant with you. It was so that they could be with you and experience the love that God had now established in your family and would extend it to the broader community. You heard it said by Jesus in John 13. A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Do you not see, friends, how far we have fallen from that love of Christmas? For when the world looks at the church, does it see us as that amazing place of love and embrace, acceptance and reconciliation, or does it see us as estrangement or broken or lost? It isn't just about the love story that God has for us, for when God's love dwells in us, we are then to extend it, as Jesus commands, to one another. I was in a store this past week and had the opportunity to encounter one of the Grinches of Christmas. Have you met them? Maybe they're a family member of yours. Maybe they're a coworker. Maybe they're just a simple store clerk. But when I arrived at this individual's register, I honestly did not know what he had left at home or what he had brought with him, but I knew the cloud of doom was upon him. He looked up at me and he grunted this retort that I know they taught him in training: did you find everything you were looking for? Well, he opened the door. I said to him, no. He almost had whiplash. He looked up and stunned, looked at me as if, what do you mean? You all must answer to him, yes, I found everything. Just keep checking me out. So he said, then what are you looking for? Yeah. He opened the door again. I thought I was quoting an old Beatles tune. I'm just looking for somebody to love. I don't think he was convinced. His demeanor did not change. He still looked at me with that same gloom, and I said, no, I really mean it. I was looking for you today to tell you God loves you. Merry Christmas. He's not convinced. He finished checking me out. He did the quick exchange. He torted at me, Merry Christmas again, but I know he doesn't believe it yet. You know what's amazing? I'm going back. Every time I go through that store, I'm going to look for him. If his line's the longest, I'm going to stand patient. I'm going to look him in the eye, and I'm going to answer him again. Because you know what, friends? Strangely enough, when Jesus gave this commandment, he didn't mean it to just love the people who look pretty next to you in the pew. He really wants us to know that he searched for us, because at one moment we were nothing but gloom, and his love was manifest in us. And we're now to share it, Jesus commands, with one another. Don't give up on it. Keep loving, because at some point and at some moment, whether at that register or at an altar or at some place, The love of God is going to be manifest if you and I keep loving. What'll really freak him out is that if I'm not the only one that shows up with this answer, I'm not going to tell you what store he works at. I just want you as a congregation to start doing this. Do it with everybody you meet. Tell them you're looking for somebody to love and mean it, Jesus said. Tell them that this love has an opportunity this Christmas to change us and the world. There is a benediction that's written to the people at Ephesus. In the third chapter, hear these words. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long, how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Let's be a people of love and find that love to share. The love we've received from the Father and the love that the Father has shared to us through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.